This is Madman Manson of MadmanManson.com, and you are listening to the only show to get a 10 out of 10 Manson per gallon rating, The Indie Corner.
Welcome to episode 85 of the Indie Corner, guys, with myself, Stuart Rogers. Recording this on November the 5th, so it won't be a long show. We've got family things to get to. This week, Matt Barker is back with a review of PCW's Fright Night 3 from last week, and Justin DiVigilio will be back with his US Indie News. And before we get on to all that, just want to speak about ICW. You know, they've had their biggest show in history this past weekend with Fear and Loathing 7. And you don't need to wait, you know, for the DVD to be released on that, because on November the 3rd, ICW launched their on-demand service, and less than 24 hours after the event took place, they had the show in full online. So I've got to say, you know, full credit to Mark Dallas and his team for not only having, you know, once again, a great show, but starting the on-demand service, and more importantly, getting Fear and Loathing 7 online so soon. There is a review of the show over on theindiecorner.com, or you can just go directly to insanewrestling.co.uk/on-demand and subscribe to their service for a mere $3.99 a month, which is, you know, basically a steal. So you can, you'll be able to watch that show and many more. Also, it's you know, not long now until the first show on behalf of Chris Travis, which will be in Sheffield on November 16th. And shipping out this week is the Best of Travis DVD set, with all the proceeds going straight to the man himself, which you can pick up over at holewrestling.co.uk. I just have to say, you know, Harvey Dale, you know, he's going above and beyond to support Chris Travis in this. You know, he's the one who's putting the show together in Sheffield. He's the one who's sourced all the footage and arranged to have the compilation DVD, you know, made. He's also distributing the DVD set, and he's also released a limited pink I'm a Chris Travis guy t-shirt here in the UK. So, you know, full props to Harvey Dale for doing that. So that's it, guys, for the intro. What we'll do now, we'll head straight over to Matt and his review of PCW Fright Night 3. He's just a rascal, he's just a rascal, he's just a rascal, dizzy rascal, he's just a rascal, he's just a rascal, he's just a rascal.
Yo, my name is Bubblegum, member of Team Single and the Boy in the Corner, and you are listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner. So yo ho, let's go.
Hello there, guys. Matt Barker here from the West Yorkshire studios of the Indie Corner, sat here with a fantastically nice cup of tea, getting ready to review the Preston City Wrestling Fright Night from this past Friday in Preston, Lancashire. Just want to make mention before the review how good Preston City Wrestling put forward in terms of the decoration and presentation of the evening in the queue, in the way into the nightclub venue. They put all sorts of frightening dolls and decorations around and playing Halloween theme music to keep us entertained, which I thought was fantastic. This was my first Fright Night event, missed last year due to a family commitment, etc. And the one before, I hadn't really started going to Preston yet, so this was my first event of the kind of its kind. A lot of fans in the audience dressed up as various wrestlers or characters. The top one that I saw was a man who'd come dressed as the Iron Sheik, full on inflated body costume and a tea towel on his head and a fake moustache, and he'd even gone to the effort of putting on some of the Iron Sheik's infamous curly ended wrestling boots. So top marks to that man in particular. Myself, I went to I went halfway in between, dressed like a normal wrestling fan, then I slipped on the old mask of the Ultimo Dragon to pay homage to him, and also because I'd not got another costume, so a bit of a poor effort from myself. The show anyway started with the Fatal 4-Way match, which featured Zach Gibson up against Rich Swann and Charlie Garrett, and then there was a mystery man to be announced, which was announced by Freddy Krueger, who came down to the ring and revealed himself, to not much surprise, to be Lionheart, which elicited a chance of the usual sexy bastard chance, along with the quiet fitting scary bastard with what he was dressed as, which was quite funny. He then said he's been scouring over the UK again for more fresh talent, and he introduced the fourth member of the match as Midlands-based Tyler Bate, which I was very happy to see, as I've seen Tyler down at Southside and on many DVDs, and I think he's a very good young wrestler. So that was a good start. The match itself was very, very entertaining. The only complaint I had, which is not the fault of the wrestlers, was I thought it was a bit bit on the short side, just to say four such talented wrestlers in the match. We wish it had been a little bit longer. I didn't think the wrestlers had enough time to equally show off what they have, with obviously having to share out the sequences, etc., with it being so short. But still a good match. The crowd was on Zach Gibson's back from the start, with the usual anti-Scouser remarks, etc., which he played up fantastically and everything, so really good. Rich Swann was very entertaining. His ring entrance, which I was looking forward to seeing, because I've seen on DVD but never in person. It was really very, very fun to be a part of, with the all night long Lionel Richie song and everything, and his dancing, very, very entertaining. So yeah, good match here, and Charlie Garrett picked up the win with his spinning splash, which is very impressive for a man of his size. He continues to impress me, and surely he's going to go on to bigger and better things sooner rather than later in his career. But yeah, big win for Charlie Garrett. The second match of the night was Team Single defending their tag team titles against a mystery tag team. So Team Single made the way to the ring. Lionheart came out again and introduced their opponents, who were the Hunter Brothers, again based from the Midlands, usual regulars on the South Side amongst other companies. Another good match here. The only thing was the crowd didn't seem to take the Hunters as a serious threat. It didn't seem, they weren't fully behind them, and there were quite a lot of chance for Rampage Brown, understandably, and just my observation during the match, just again, he does it every time, but I always get blown away by how good Rampage Brown is, and just it seems like he's a level above, which is saying a lot, because the UK has so many talented wrestlers, but Rampage is just seems like just like something else, and fantastic here, and the whole Team Single thing I'm a big fan of, and I'm hoping that they actually never lose the tag titles. I think they're the best thing in Preston City Wrestling in terms of how good they are as a team, and how intimidating they are, and come across the wall as an act together, etc. But yeah, good match here, and going back and forth. The Hunter Brothers got in a lot of offence on Team Single. Unfortunately for them, Team Single managed to single out, pun intended, one of the Hunter Brothers, and Rampage finished them off with his devastating pile driver. The next match on the card was Bubblegum defending his cruiserweight title against Martin Kirby. Joanna Rose, before introducing Kirby, announced that he was no longer going to be appearing on the event. This then led to her saying they had got a replacement, and she introduced Kane from the WWE. Lo and behold, he seemed to have lost a few inches in height, etc. Came down, and it was obviously Martin Kirby dressed up as Kane. And a thing which definitely popped me here was when Kirby Kane got in the ring. He did the Kane impression with lowering his arms for the pyro to come out of the ring posts. Obviously, this wasn't going to happen in Preston, but instead, when he lowered his arms, some dry ice shot out of the ceiling chandelier, which was really, really, really funny and very well timed. Kirby did a great impression of many of Kane's moves and mannerisms, including climbing over the top rope, which was always funny due to his height, etc. And an entertaining match. Again, the only knock was it would have obviously been a better match with Martin Kirby actually fighting as himself and everything. I think that'd have been a really good match. So it was lowered a notch by him obviously having to wrestle as Kane and do impressions, but like I say, it was still an entertaining match and quite fitting for the event being a Halloween themed show, etc. Bubblegum picked up the win when the referee's back was turned. He gave Kirby Kane a low blow and then hit the pedigree for the win. After the match, Kane got his revenge by hitting a chokeslam on Bubblegum and then unmasked himself to the shock of the crowd to reveal it was in fact Martin Kirby, with a great play on when Kane unmasked back in the early 2000s, and he actually had the old makeup around his eyes like Kane did back in the day. So very nice touch here, everything, and entertaining match. The last match before the interval was Madman Manson teaming with Dave Rain up against former WWE Tag Team Champions Paul London and Brian Kendrick. The first team to come down was Manson and Dave Rain. They came down in a pantomime horse costume to the theme of Black Beauty, which for anyone listening out there who gets this reference, reminded me of Alan Partridge, so got me laughing before they even appeared. And obviously they were playing off being in a horse costume by struggling to get into the ring, etc. and everything. Then Brian Kendrick came down to the ring as usual, and then the old school music of Triple H hit, and were introduced to Single PH, as he was called, which was obviously Paul London, coming out dressed as Triple H with a prop sledgehammer. He did his usual Paul London trademark. They were taking forever to get to the ring, which got a bit long in the tooth. And a bit boring by the end, is obviously with no big screens playing the action or whatever in the venue, that if you sat in the front row like I was, you couldn't really see him for about three quarters of his entrance. So that was it got a bit like I said, a bit boring. The match itself, you couldn't really even call it a match. It lasted about a minute. I can't remember which way it was, but for example, Dave Rain pinned Kendrick and London pinned Manson at the same time. So the referee started the match and then reversed what I've just said, and that happened again. So Joanna Rose just basically announced that everyone had won the match and they all celebrated, and that was it after a minute. So it wasn't even a match. Didn't really see the point in this, and I thought it was a bit of a waste of Kendrick and London when you've got two such good wrestlers as them on the show, and they could have done more. So yeah, I thought it was a bit of a waste, to be honest, and not that great. At the interval, you could get a picture with all four men in the ring. The first match post-interval was Joey Hayes came down. This was followed by Lionheart coming to the ring, who announced Joey Hayes' opponent as the advertised Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper made his way down the aisle in a full-on coat and mask, so you couldn't see who it was. Eventually, after much of a slow entrance, he got into the ring, and it was revealed as Uha Nation, which the crowd went absolutely mental for, launching into his chant straight away, and a massive pop when it was unveiled as him. Really, really good surprise this. I was very, very chuffed, so top marks there to PCW for that one. As you'd expect, good match with these two, again, maybe on the short side. Uha Nation picked up the decisive win with the Uha combination to pick up the win and set him off on a good win leading into his match next month, which we'll get to shortly. Then the next match, Noam Dar came down to the ring minus his man bag, which some of the crowd pointed out. He then issued an open challenge to anyone in the back, Then there was a slight miscue as the start of Rich Swann's music All Night Long started playing, only to be broken off. So Noam Dar had to improvise and say, that was my plan all along to tease you all. It eventually turned out it was accepted by Charlie Garrett, fresh off his win in the opening match. Good tussle here. Noam Dar, for me, has been a little bit off the pace recently. But in this match, he seemed fully back to the Noam Dar that I originally saw and thought was absolutely brilliant. He put on a very good performance here, very entertaining, and he also seems to have improved his actual interaction, etc., and seems to be getting towards the all-round package, in my opinion. Good match, like I say. Dar picked up the win, I believe, with a great Carly impression chop to the face and picked up the win. Next up was the grudge match of all grudge matches. Big sarcasm there as El Higuero came down to the ring dressed in his jeans and mask, which usually to me indicates it's going to be an all-out war. If anyone's been following Ligero's career for a long time, he usually wears digs out the jeans for a feud-ending hardcore match, etc. His opponent was introduced and has been teased on Twitter during the week. Mark Andrews was meant to have been facing Mark Andrews was meant to be facing El Higuero, however he had to pull out due to injury. So the next opponent was teased as someone who was used to saying the F word followed by El Higuero, which didn't really keep much of a surprise left as to who it was going to be. And lo and behold, it turned out to be Madman Manson, who came down to the classic one hit wonder of Hadaway, What Is Love. This again was. Manson with up to his finest tricks, just being outlandishly entertaining and brilliant, interacting with the crowd, you know, doing his usual blowing the fourth wall down, etc., revealing all the tricks of the trade and stuff, but managing to get away with it just by being so entertaining. And he actually managed, I believe, to crack Ligero up a few times, which was good. The highlights of this match included the trademark Titanic sequence on the ropes. Which the crowd chanted one more time for, which they duly got, which was very funny, just a pure comedy match. I believe Ligero won. I'm actually struggling to think now who won the match, but I believe Ligero won. Not that it really matters, but I believe he did. Like I say, an epic feud-ending match. Another thing Manson dug out during the match was the thing he did down at Progress, where he dug out the tomato ketchup and put some on his forehead to obviously play off being blood. So yeah, good and entertaining match here. The main event was up next. Earlier on in the night, it had been built up as in the opening sequence. They were mentioning who was on Team Masters and who was on Team Mastiff. Actually, not much response at all for Masters, but the whole crowd seemed behind Mastiff. So I wondered how it was going to play out. During the match, turned out Chris Masters was slightly booed, and the crowd were very much behind Mastiff. Chris Masters, with this in mind, started playing the heel role, and by the end of the match, he had gone completely heel. Another, as you'd expect with these two, very good match. Crowd seemed quiet in places for some reason. I'm not sure if that was due to being burnt out or whatever, or I'm not sure, but it was a very not as good a response as it should really have been for the match they were putting on. As I've said, Masters has improved greatly, and Dave Mastiff is really good, so very very solid hard hitting contest here. The ending came when we had a couple of referee knockdowns, very TNA-esque referee knockdowns. The masterpiece eventually hit a low blow with the referee not there, and then put on the master lock for the win, much to the chagrin of the crowd. And almost, like I say, turned completely bad by this point. At this stage, Lionheart came down. Masters said to him, "Give me my belt," for which Lionheart said, "You can pick up your own effing belt," to him, which then led to Chris Masters putting the mast lock on Lionheart, which was somewhat uncomfortable viewing after knowing what Lionheart's been through, but I'm assuming, obviously, I agreed to play the part with it, but a bit uncomfortable to watch. But he put on the master lock on Lionheart, which led to UHA Nation making the save, and Lionheart announcing that it's now official for November 29th for the Saturday night Ring of Honor Super Show. Chris Masters defending the PCW title against UHA Nation. Also announced on this show was for the Road to Glory tournament in March. They're bringing over Alberto Del Rio for it, which got a very positive response. Overall, the thoughts on the show, very usual entertaining night, had a good time. The only thing was came away there was no blow away matches like they usually are. There's usually at least one or two matches you come back raving about and we're looking forward to watching on Blu-ray or DVD. With this one, there was some solid matches, good matches, nothing bad. Apart from the comedy tag team match, but nothing bad, but nothing great either. Probably if I had to pick a favourite match of the night, it'd have to be probably the team single versus the Hunter Brothers matchup, maybe Joey Hayes v UHA Nation. But yeah, just in my opinion, there were nothing blow away, but like I say, definitely still well worth the money. A great effort put forward, like I say, from Preston City Wrestling with the presentation and just the whole evening as usual. Nothing really beats going there, so fantastic, good show. The next shows obviously are the Ring of Honor Super Show weekend on the last Friday and Saturday of this month, and on the Sunday lunchtime as well, with four shows in total. I'll be there for the Saturday shows only on this occasion, so I'll have some kind of review on that. If you have any thoughts on this, if you were there and you'd like to share them with me, if anything, it'd be great to hear from you. So my Twitter handle is Mr. then _ B _ Heat, and like I say, welcome any debate or feedback. Until then, enjoy the rest of the show and take care, guys. Thanks.
Thanks to Matt for that. What we'll do now, just do some of the news. Starting with Triple X Wrestling, they had to cancel their 999 show, which was booked for this Sunday, due to unforeseen circumstances. It's a shame that they've had to cancel, but like I say, it was unforeseen and it was out of their control. They will be back on December 28th, though. I know we know we'll have more on that right here in the weeks to come. Fight Club Pro have announced that on the weekend of December 5th and 6th they'll be back with a double shot as they present Infinity 2014. Tickets can be brought in advance by emailing fightclubproshop@hotmail.com. That's fightclubproshop@hotmail.com. On to House of Pain Evolution now. They debut in Kirkby in Ashfield on November the 8th. Announced since the last show is Jack Jester against El Ligero, and LJ Heron against Ryan Smiley in a no disqualification, no count out match. And on November 21st at the Polish Club in Derby, they are back again with another future show. And I can exclusively reveal that former WWE star Mason Ryan debuts for Hope Wrestling, and he'll be taking on the man I just mentioned LJ Heron. For tickets on both of these shows, head over to ringsideworld.co.uk. On to Kamikaze Pro now. So they're back, you know, on November 22nd in Bournville, Birmingham, with the show entitled Hero vs Villain, headlined by Chris Hero against Marty Scurll. The show also features Kamikaze Pro champion Ryan Smile going up against Robbie X, and I can exclusively announce that Marshall X will be taking on Chris Brooks in a no DQ match. Head over to ringsideworld.co.uk for tickets for this one. On to Revolution Pro Wrestling now. They return to Sittingbourne on Sunday, and you know, there are four matches announced so far, the latest being James Castle up against Jake McCluskey. First seen Jake McCluskey a couple of shows back at York Hall, and I had not seen or heard of him before that show, and I was really impressed with him. I think he stepped in for Paul Robinson to team with Will Ospreay against the Two Unlimited tag team, and like I say, you know, I was impressed with Jake McCluskey the first time I'd seen him, so that should be a good match there with James Castle. Other matches on the show, we're going to see the Revolutionists, which of course the Rev Pro British champion Marty Scurll and Shah Samuels take on the aforementioned team of Two Unlimited. You can see Lord Gideon Grey take on Martin Kirby, and what I can see being the main event is Cruiserweight champion Will Ospreay going up against former champion Josh Boldham, two of my favourite you know, young wrestlers here in the UK by a long way. You can pay on the door at the UKP Leisure Centre or visit revolutionprowrestling.com for more details. Infinite Promotions are back this weekend with another show. It's a Hard Day's Fight, round three at the Dome in the Grand Central in Liverpool, and it's like I say, this coming Saturday. The card is as follows: Dylan Roberts against Zach Gibson, Joey Hayes against T-Bone, the Blackpool Buns against Tim Wiley and Babyface Pitbull, Charlie Garrett against Bubblegum, Sam Bailey against D'Lo Brown, and Infinite Heavyweight Champion CJ Banks up against Danny Hope. That's basically it for the news and stuff now. I'm basically going to end the show there. After this quick musical interlude, we'll just have Justin on with his US indie news. Like I say, I said it would be a short show this week. That's it basically. Get a few plugs out of the way. If you don't already, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theindiecorner. Check out theindiecorner.com for all the articles, reviews, etc. And give us a follow on Twitter at the Indie Corner. Any feedback on the show or to talk about independent wrestling in general, do it all on there or on the Facebook page. Support us if you can by going to theindiecorner.bigcartel.com. You can buy DVDs, including a lot of British DVDs, and help support us and the running costs of the site and the podcast. And that's it. So like I say, yeah, that's it for this week, guys. After the break, you'll hear Justin with his US Indie News. So until next week, guys, take care.
This is Kyle O'Reilly, one half of Red Dragon, your Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, and you're listening to the number one wrestling podcast in the UK, The Indie Corner.
Welcome, guys. Justin DiVigilio here to give this week's edition of the US Indie News segment. As on the agenda this week is GFW, Evolve/DGUSA, and ROH. Now let's get into it. As Global Force Wrestling has announced that they will broadcast New Japan's Tokyo Dome show on January 4th, 2015 on US pay-per-view. The four-hour event is scheduled to air at 2 a.m. on Sunday. On Sunday, January 4th, then we'll play in a traditional Sunday night pay-per-view time slot of 7 p.m. It's also available on the Flips app for Android and iTunes devices. Now, the next news is WWN Live is going to be running shows on Friday, March 27th and Saturday, March 28th at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds in San Jose, California. Gabe Sapolsky tweeted that the events will be held all day on Friday and Saturday, but the major shows will be held in the evening. So they're going to be running WrestleMania weekend, just like Ring of Honor is with Supercard of Honor 9, and those tickets are going to be on sale. They're on sale already.
and the first wrestlers announced for the show are ROH World Champ Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, ROH Tag Champs Red Dragon, Bobby Fish and Kyle Riley, and Adam Cole. Now to the ROH news, as along with that, the ROH Tag Champs Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish have won the Super Juniors Tag Team Tournament as they defeated the Young Bucks. Sadly, yet again, as the Young Bucks are my favorite tag team, but congratulations to Red Dragon, as that's a big deal, and it only points to ROH and New Japan working together even more. ROH also put out the full cards for Survivor of the Fittest Night 1 and 2. As for Night 1, it's a main event, no DQ tag team grudge match, as it's the Briscoes, Jay and Mark, versus the Kingdom, Matt Taven and Michael Bennett with Maria Kanellis. Matt Taven returned on TV after he was not with the company anymore. Tag team showdown match, The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, versus The Decade, Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer. Survivor of the Fittest qualifier match, hashtag Reborn Matt Sydal versus ACH. Survivor of the Fittest qualifier match, ROH TV champ Jay Lethal with Truth Martini versus Hanson. Survivor of the Fittest qualifier match, Adam Page versus Cedric Alexander. The next three are qualifier matches as well. Tommaso Ciampa versus Caprice Coleman, Roderick Strong versus Tadarius Thomas, Adam Cole versus Delirious, and also signed to appear on this show is RD Evans and Moose with Veda Scott. Now for night two, is the main event's going to be the Survivor of the Fittest 2014 finals match. First time ever tag team match, the Briscoes, Jay and Mark, versus The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. And Survivor of the Fittest Night 2 will feature the winners of their qualifying matches on Night 1, so none of them are official yet, but the matchups could go like this. Matt Taven versus hashtag Reborn Matt Sydal or ACH. Michael Bennett with Maria Kanellis versus Tommaso Ciampa or Caprice Coleman. Adam Page or Cedric Alexander versus Jay Lethal or Hanson. And Moose and RD Evans with Veda Scott versus The Decade's Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer. Signed to appear as well is Adam Cole, Delirious, Roger Strong, and Tadarius Thomas. Also this week is that ROH is going to be returning to Baltimore on November 22nd for TV taping, and claimed to be the Road to Final Battle, which doesn't really make sense to me, as this TV will most likely air after Final Battle. But either way, got some interesting matches here, as this show will contain Tag Wars, which is the tag team. It's just like a tournament, and it's going to be whoever the titles could change at the end of the night, maybe a couple times. And six contender teams will be entered. The first round consists of three tag matches, as these six teams are pitted against each other. The three advancing teams will go into the finals, a four-way elimination tag with Red Dragon standing in the fourth corner, and the titles will be on the line. So already announced to be in this tournament, Tag Wars 2014, is the Young Bucks, the Briscoes, and the Addiction. Also on this taping is the match signed is Adam Cole versus ROH legend, starting ROH in the very beginning, is Brian Kendrick, also known as Spanky. It's all the news for this week, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at JDVirgilio4, that's JDIVIRGILIO4, and check me on the Indie Corner for ROH TV reviews and indie wrestling related articles, even though I haven't did one in a while. I gotta get to the one I had the idea about. So that's pretty much it for this show. Thanks for listening, guys. You support independent wrestling, support the Indie Corner, and support, the Indie Corner and independent wrestling again. And that's it. So I'm out.
my time, my grind. Promise I'ma do this right. Open eyes, see the sign. Now I give it all I got. This is not what you think. This is nowhere near game to me. It's the air that I breathe in my wildest dreams. Seems out of reach and a little far from my grand. Times pass used to fall on my ass. Every time, heavy grind, getting mine. Till I reach the finish line. Never die, tell you why I stay prepared. Like my life's on the line. And I'm fixing to crash and burn. I'm taking turns for the worst. Learn what was really worth. Putting first, never hurt the people that you love. And if you can't do that, then you should give the game up. Straight up, this is my life. Give it everything I got. Live bright, out of sight. Shining in the limelight. Bright minds, think alike. That's how we form a team. Now it seems that we be ready for the real thing. Switching up my style in the middle of a mission. Expedition. Got to call it something like speaking. Bounce to the nearest safe house and vision. A decision. Should I change the way I'm living? No. Take me a soldier, bury me a G. Hope heaven got room for a player like me. Other rappers compete to be the greatest. Why is it a breeze to turn the G into idol? Cause y'all some bitches, some narcs, some shadows in the dark. My floor the tip of the arrow to penetrate your heart. We the real and you the fake. These are boys that I would take on my journey to the place. Which could reveal a fate. The dream, the hope, the life without dope. I'm just trying to find myself at the end of the rope. And
Yo, hope that I see heaven before hell. I told him that I'd rather see death before jail. Yeah.